Hi, and welcome to Enchantment, a Dragon Age Let's Play podcast. I'm Manny.
And I'm Brandon.
And this is episode 8
of
Inquisition.
Episode 8.
We're not going to do anything. We already did episode 8 Last Jedi. I've done that multiple times.
Yeah.
We're done here.
Oh, you know what I ate today? I had pancakes.
Oh my God, I did not have pancakes. I ate Captain Crunch.
Okay. Oh, you had Captain Crunch?
I had Captain Crunch because I love Captain Crunch Crunch Berries.
I have not had Captain Crunch in maybe my life.
Oh, it's so good. It's my favorite cereal.
I ate Cheerios. I'm just trying to keep it tied to the number. I eat Cheerios.
He eats Cheerios. He doesn't eat, but it's not even like honey
nut.
I
have the ones with the heart on it. They're basically just like flavorless circles, but I like them. I put my flavorless circles in a bowl, and then I put my unsweetened almond milk on them, and they end up, but just enough, not enough to be swimming in it, just enough to make them like a little soggy, and then I eat
That's why I love my Crunch Berries, but I have the regular Crunch Berries.
What's the difference?
Okay, so there's Cap'n Crunch.
Yeah.
And which is just, you know, those like square corn squares, whatever it is.
Sure.
Then there's
I always get Cap'n Crunch confused with Frosted Flakes.
They're very different. Frosted Flakes are just paper.
I was never a cereal child.
But Crunch Berries are little circles that are within the Captain, next, like basically mixed in with the Captain Crunch.
Okay.
And they're like these colorful like orbs.
And they taste like berries. Then,
and the berries.
That's it.
Then there is a new invention, or more recent, the Oops All Crunch Berries.
I do know about Oops All Berries. I know about those.
It's the dumbest, because why would you admit to your customers that this was a mistake?
Yeah, I just like the soggy circles. But anyway, it's episode 8. Manny, what did we do last time?
So last episode was basically the Back to the Future Part 2 episode, where we went into a horrid future. Horrid, horrid future.
Yeah, only 1 year later.
Yes.
Everything sucked.
And everything sucks. People are turning into red lyrium.
This is like if you were in 2019 and you went 1 year later into 2020.
Oh my God. You know how fucking scary that would be? Like, as a as a person with the 2019 mindset, to go into the future just 1 year and see that the whole world has fallen apart.
Yeah.
And you have to just be like, what the fuck can I do about it? Nothing.
And similarly, it's preventable.
It is preventable, actually, yeah. It is preventable.
But yeah, basically, like you said, red lyrium is all over the place. You have the Elder One, who we heard all about for the first time last episode.
Yes, the true villain. We don't know. He seems like, you would just never mention someone named the Elder One and just drop that.
No.
It's like, the Elder One, win. And it's just like, it's like a twist.
It is
like, oh my God. So that's why you're the Elder One, because you're so old.
And we made it back, and we have Dorian with us now. He's a full-fledged party member.
Mm-hmm. So probably the best party member we have, because we spent time with him on a mission.
Yeah, we got to know him. We got to do a nice little field trip to the future with him. There's much more than we can say about the other characters, so definitely happy to have him along. I wish we could say the same about the other characters, but, you know, we've gone through that.
It is what it is. But yes, so
before we go down this episode, though, I want to talk about, if you remember at the end of last episode, we were talking about how that is an optional mission, because there's branching paths you can go down. So that's the mission you do if you want to recruit the mages into the Inquisition, which is how it ended. Alistair banished the mages, and we were like, you can come with us, you know, forget about your deadbeat son.
My what? Yes.
That's right, Fiona. I read the book. The other mission is if you were to recruit the Templars, which is what Cullen was trying to get us to do. But I'll just very briefly explain the gist of what that mission is, because obviously I don't know it to the amount of detail that we know this one. Mm-hmm. But basically, the gist is that Josephine arranges a bunch of nobility, like Orlesian nobility, And it's like 5 different religion houses or 10 different houses. And they're like, okay, they're going to help convince the Templars to join our cause. So we go to this like fortress that is used to train Templars and Seekers and stuff. And we want to talk to the Lord Seeker. And then blah, 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 some stuff ensues. And all of a sudden, you're attacked by Templars that are corrupted by Red Lyrium. So that is how Red Lyrium is introduced, no matter the mission.
Yeah.
After that, you like have to fight a bunch of people and then get confronted by, I think it's the Lord Seeker. And it turns out that the Lord Seeker is actually a demon. So the Lord Seeker is like an envy demon pretending to be the Seeker. And the envy demon like goes into you. The core of the mission, that's like all of that is basically the beginning of the mission, like for us. And then instead of going into the future, you are in your own mind.
Oh, that's interesting.
And you're like fighting the corruption of this demon who wants to learn your ways. Like he wants to learn enough about you so that he can pose as you in the present and be,
yeah,
like take your place basically. And while you're in your mind and trying to fight off this envy demon, you get help by a friend who we know is Cole from the books.
Oh, that makes sense.
This is the companion that you're introduced to as part of that mission instead of Dorian. And Dorian would have been introduced in some other way. And then you fight the envy demon, and then you get the Templars to help you after that. They're like, we still want to help you. And kind of similar to how in this mission, the mage one, you can either choose to bring them in as prisoners or as allies. Mm-hmm. In the Templar one, you can either bring them in as Templars and be like, we'll help you rebuild the Templars like the right way. Or you can say like, the Templars are disbanded. And these people just join as Inquisition members and not as Templars. And so that's how that goes. And then you get Cole.
Okay, interesting. I still prefer my future adventure then. Because that was very fun-ish.
I feel like the demon thing is more grounded in what we already know about Dragon Age instead of introducing time for no reason. That's still something that bothers me. But I do like the mage one because I'd rather side with the mages anyway. And then you get to meet Dorian.
I don't see any reason why to even just want to side with the Templars. There's no reason. But yes, so today we've returned from our time traveling adventures back to Haven to catch up with everybody.
So I was thinking we have this In Your Heart Shall Burn mission.
Mm-hmm.
And we have enough power for it too. But I looked up the like level recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
And we are not.
Ah.
I was thinking maybe we could like talk to friends a bit.
Yeah, let's.
And then go to that other area we have unlocked.
Sure, let's talk to our buddies.
You want to start with
Dorian.
Josephine.
Oh, let's start with Josephine.
The Inquisition appreciates.
Oh, she's right here.
The Chantry raised some fuss when they learned about our arrangement.
I don't give a shit. So already we see our decision to bring in the mages to the Inquisition has changed up or caused a ruckus in our camp.
Yeah, because Josephine's like, she's outside of her office and she's talking to a dwarf, like trying to get Lyrium. I do like this touch.
Yeah, because it makes it feel like the world is evolving by our decisions.
Makes me wonder, like, what if we had done the Templar mission? Like, all these conversations that we're about to have would be different. Like, it kind of illustrates all of the branching worlds.
Paths.
Yeah.
But I like it. It makes the world feel alive. It's, like, it's even changing the Chantry's view of us as well. That they are like, oh, they took in mages, those filthy...
Yeah,
filthy Inquisition.
Yeah, the dwarf said the Chantry raised a fuss. And I wonder if we took in the Templars, they'd be like, oh, you know, this Inquisition has the right idea.
Maybe.
Although, I wonder if we would have needed this anyway, because don't the Templars need Lyrium too?
True, maybe so, it'd be like, oh.
Maybe it would just be like slightly altered dialogue.
He'll probably be like, I would gladly give you all this lyrium because the
because the Chantry loves you and I love the Chantry.
Exactly.
Who was she, Ambassador?
A merchant. I thought we should reach out to the dwarves to secure lyrium for the Inquisition's mages. It raised the ire of the Chantry.
Okay.
The Chantry's incompetent!
Has the Chantry truly promoted such peace?
And Rassi's chant is familiar across kingdoms, a source of many shared customs. Common ground is the start of all negotiations.
So if everyone listens to the chant, things will be smooth as silk.
I did say commonality is merely a beginning, but it's an important one.
You sound too good to be true.
How did someone so lovely and selfless go into Elysian politics, Lady Montpellier?
Well, that is, really, you give me too much.
Again, this game gives you the opportunity to really take a side here. Like, you can either be like, oh, the Chantry. Like, I love the Chantry. Or, in our case, just be like, who cares about the Chantry? Like, oh, they're so peaceful.
I mean, granted, like, I feel like Zand would have that, like, opinion. Because, like, one, he is not, he doesn't believe in the Maker.
Yeah.
Or anything that the Chantry believes in. So he would be like, oh, really? Your religion thinks, like, it does the best for people?
Yeah, and not only does he not believe it, he didn't even grow up in that society, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, who is he to even give it the benefit of the doubt? He's probably just like, oh, well, why is the Chantry always the right way to go?
It's like, have you people thought about maybe of a different way to go? What about if the Chantry does something as stupid?
But Josephine tries to hammer home that it's like, it's not about what the Chantry teaches, but it's just about the fact that so many people follow it, that it's commonality, which then can lead to unity, rather than like what the Chantry actually does itself. So again,
I feel like you know what, now really thinking about that, that does mirror our world,
right? That was exactly what I was thinking. And I've said this a million times, but I do like this angle, and that we're getting all of this talk about the Chantry and religion and its place in society. I feel like it's obviously always been there, but we never really get to talk about it as much.
Yeah.
But it's really relevant to the main plot this time.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. And when I say main plot, like, obviously there's a side conversation, but still.
Yeah.
Thanks, Josephine.
Thanks, Josephine. You're doing a good job. I'm going to give you a cake.
Well, Vivienne.
Oh, how are you?
If Fiona and her malcontents are joining us as allies, we need to be prepared. Abominations are inevitable.
There's no need for Templars.
Have any of these men faced an abomination before, my dear? The veil is broken, and the raw power of the Fade rushes out like floodwaters through a shattered levee.
What do we say? You don't trust mages?
You don't trust... Of course she doesn't trust...
Do you pose a risk?
Yeah, do you? Do you pose a risk?
If you're seeing demons everywhere, do you believe you're a risk? Do you believe I am?
We are a risk, darling. Better to know it and use caution. Magic is dangerous, just as fire is dangerous.
Ugh.
Anyone who forgets this truth gets burned.
Well, we do have candles on the ground.
The Dalish get along just fine without Templars or Circle Towers.
As I understand it, the elves limit their risk by refusing to have more than 3 mages in a clan. Tell me, what becomes of the Dalish youngster who is not appointed first or second?
What does happen? I don't know.
I don't know.
I guess they're sent to other clans, I guess.
They're sent to other clans. Sent to other clans.
If a clan can't raise the mage, they're sent to another that's in need of a first or second.
And if there are no clans in need of a new apprentice? Tell me something. What future do you see for mages?
Oh, mages should be free. Freedom!
Mages should be treated like anybody else.
God, she's greatly disproven like crazy.
How free did you feel living on the run, never straying too close to villages or staying in one place too long? Paint the cage any color you like. It is still a cage.
We had a great debate here with Vivienne.
Listen, and Vivienne is an interesting character.
Yeah.
I feel like she's scared of her own powers.
I mean,
in a way.
Looking at this back, I do see Vivienne's point a little more, even though it comes across as very, like,
awful,
like, unreasonable. Yeah. But I feel like, I get it, you know, she wants mages to have agency within the circle, but she still wants there to be a circle, and she feels like educating slash being wary of magic is still important. She's not emphasizing that mages are bad, but more that, like, magic is something to be careful with.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that stance. I mean, I could even kind of agree with it, where it's like, yeah, circles should be around and be more of like an educational thing. But on the flip side, that's also a system where you could be killed for any of the littlest thing that happens wrong.
Yeah, for your whole life. Like, it's not
for your
like,
whole life.
Like, it's not like you learn about magic and then they let you go. It's like you're stuck there forever.
You don't have your own agency. You're kind of just used yourself for your own skills to fight for a kingdom that doesn't necessarily view you as equal, just more as a weapon of mass destruction.
Yeah. And even the most, like, even the people who pass all of their exams and their full mages with all the responsibility that they can handle, they're still stuck in the tower. They can't have a life outside of it. Like, it's still basically a prison. It's just comfortable. It's it's like Shawshank Redemption. You're just like the guy who runs the library, but you're still a prisoner.
Like, I still think there should be something to help mages, educate them on, you know, the dangers of magic, how to use magic responsibly.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe not a magical school that teaches dark arts at the same time.
Yeah. It's like they need Hogwarts, but without all the shitty parts.
Without the forbidden section.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, even if you reduced it to a mandatory boarding school, that's still like that would still be so much better than what they have right now.
Yeah, like what they have right now, they have no life. They're just suffering forever.
Yeah. And then you have the flip side of Kirkwall, where it's literally just a prison. Like, they don't teach them shit. They just put them in a cell.
It's just like, you do nothing until we need you. And like, the first enchanter's job is literally just a desk job. That's what it feels like to me. Like, he just goes there to like, because, oh, every circle has a first enchanter. But like, we don't necessarily care about him, but, you know, we'll give him a job, we'll give him like a desk, and that's it.
Yeah, like, the first enchanter of the Ferelden Circle felt like he had actual like authority and respect.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the one in Kirkwall was literally just like, you're the first enchanter, but you're basically just like someone in fancy robes, but you're still like just as
dangerous.
Yeah, dangerous and oppressed as everyone else.
Yeah.
But it, you know, it's a good conversation. I like getting this perspective, especially from someone who is a mage. It's not really something we're used to.
Yeah.
I didn't know that that the Dalish only allowed 3 mages per clan.
Don't talk to her. Don't touch her. Don't even near her. Don't give her the attention. Don't give her the attention. Don't go near the fire.
It is good to be surrounded by mages again.
Oh, someone likes them. There's a head here. Oh, is it Liliana? It is. She's in here.
He's killed Tharia, one of my best agents.
Oh.
You know what must be done. Uh-oh. Make it clean. Painless if you can. We were friends once.
We walk in on Liliana's little, like, she has this kind of tent area outside of the chantry.
Like, it's like her own little clubhouse kind of thing.
What's
the password? No boys allowed.
And when we walk in, we see that she's like commanding a hit on someone.
Yes.
And then a dialogue appears with options to how to react. And then we haven't yet to react. Like, we haven't said a word. And then all of a sudden, it's like, it gives you the option to save a life.
And it's like, it's also like weird for Liliana to have like this personality come out where she's just ruthless right now. Like, she just wants someone dead. And she has that anger in her eyes, in her voice, basically.
Yeah, I feel like something happened in between Origins and this, where she just became so, like, pragmatic and jaded.
She's kind of, like, reverting back to her Liliana song.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe just, like, the world and Dorothea being killed. Like, so brutally. Like, maybe maybe she's reverting.
Like, I could see this, like, as a side mission where Liliana's, like, doing some terrible shit.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going back to her old ways, and we'd be like, Liliana, you're better than this. And then Marjolaine show up.
I mean,
and
I mean, that basically does happen later. It's just that Marjolaine doesn't show up.
Yeah, it's true.
Wasn't Marjolaine said to be dead in one of the books?
I think so.
Even though we didn't kill her in our game. But yeah, we get dialogue options, and we can either say, do you have to kill him? We can just stay silent and watch. Or we can say, we could just like encourage her and say, traitors deserve to die. Do you have to kill him?
Do you have to kill him? Exactly.
Wait, what are you doing?
He betrayed us. He murdered my agent.
We can't solve our problems with murder.
And what would you suggest? Leave him be.
It's arrest him.
Butler's betrayal put our agents in danger.
Should we say find a better way?
Okay.
That way it's like we can be pragmatic and, you know,
yeah,
be idealistic.
I expected better from the Inquisition's spymaster.
Oh, that sounds...
You've made that point clear.
That sounds mean.
Apprehend Butler, but see that he lives.
Good. See? Is that so hard?
Now, if you're happy, I have more work to do.
God, she's so...
Why is she so mean?
She's so aggressive in this. Whoa!
Okay, lady.
She's so aggressive in this game.
So, of course, we choose the moral, like the moral answer.
Yeah, we stop her from killing him, which makes sense. Like it's just as easy to arrest him. I don't know.
Yeah. It's like, but just arrest him. We just put him in jail. That's it. Like, we don't have to kill him.
But she's very bitter about it. Like, she agrees, and she says, like, just, like, arrest him. And then she's like, are you happy? Now get the fuck out.
Are you happy now? Are you happy? I didn't have fun. Bye.
Yeah. And then at the end there, her character model, like, the scene ends with her leaning over a table. And then the scene ends and it cuts back to, like, the overworld. And her character just, like, swoops like a pendulum over to her like, idol, just, like, standing.
It's place. Like someone, like, she's placed on, like, a Lazy Susan or something. And someone moved the Lazy Susan over.
Yeah. So that was weird. But yeah, she's very she's not happy about not killing this person, but at least she listened, you know. She still has it in her.
Yeah. We decide to go speak with Varric just to catch up.
Hi, Varric.
The Mage Rebellion joins the Inquisition. I've got to admit that's a twist I didn't see coming. But Red Lyrium and Ferelden infecting people and growing out of them, that's bad. It took years to infect people in Kirkwall, but no one there was actually ingesting the stuff.
Didn't Bartrin try to make people eat it? Or something like that?
Oh, yes!
But that's enough doom and gloom. You just won a big victory for the Inquisition. What are you going to do to celebrate?
Have a party!
Yes!
Word to Josephine, and I bet she could arrange anything.
Go to Josephine right now!
Things should be calm around here for at least the next hour. Take a moment to enjoy it.
Can we actually go to Josephine and make a party happen?
I'm gonna try it. This scene kind of explains a little bit more about the whole Red Lyrium thing.
Yeah.
You know, the difference, why certain people took, you know, a longer time to turn into Red Lyrium, and why certain people just did it automatically.
But it's like opposite.
Well, it's kind of hazy. So Varric says that the people of Kirkwall were exposed to it during longer periods of time. And did he say that made it short? But fucking he Meredith said, like turned into stone in a second.
Yeah, that's the weird thing, because he said it took years to infect in Kirkwall, but I guess like it only took 1 year in the bad future because they were ingesting it. Mm-hmm. But the way we saw it was that she turned to stone immediately.
Okay,
there was no middle.
Okay, here's how I'm thinking about it. She had a lot of exposure to Red Lyrium without consuming it.
Yes.
Over years.
Yeah.
And I think when she started using that thing and using magic, whatever, with her sword thingy.
Uh-huh.
I think due to the exposure of all those years being exposed to Red Lyrium, I think once she started using that crazy shit, that's when it accelerated and went like, boom.
You know what? That makes sense. Because these are just like normal people turning into stone progressively, But I guess someone like a Red Templar, as appears in the other optional mission, like, mm-hmm. if they were to turn to stone, maybe it would be immediate for them.
Yeah, because they are more exposed to it during longer periods of time. While, like, ingesting it, you're slowly, like, your body's getting, like, like immediate, like...
Yeah.
It's basically radiation. It's just, like, she was living... Like, basically, Meredith's, like, someone who lives right next to a power plant for long periods of time, and then once something wrong happens... Well, I don't know. It's not the same, but still...
Yeah. No, yeah, but I get it. It is cool, though. I mean, when you think about it, Red Templars are going to be an element of this game as mm-hmm. time progresses, and their first appearance was in the mission that we ended up not really delving down too
doing.
Much.
Yeah.
But she was like the first instance of it in the previous game, and then
yeah.
it becomes like a more prominent thing. So they kind of like seeded it in the previous entry, which is cool.
It's very cool. Like they just like snuck it in a little bit right in there.
Yeah.
And it's like something like, oh,
it carried over.
It's
going
to be a big part in the story of the next game.
Yeah, that, the Red Lyrium. I'm glad that that all kind of returns. And since Varric is here and Cassandra are here, especially Varric, because he actually was a big part of the Red Lyrium storyline.
Yeah.
Like, it makes sense that he would be hung up on that aspect because he's seen it for himself, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's very cool. And then at the end here, he suggests a party.
Yes, which is more important than Red Lyrium. So,
oh my God. If we had a party and then you could serve flaming hot Cheetos.
Oh my God. And that's where it would come from. It'd be like, so that's where the flaming hot Cheetos, it's not Red Lyrium. It was just from the party.
They were flaming hot Cheetos at the party.
So we take our little elf ass over to Josephine to see if we could talk about the party.
There's nothing new.
Oh, this is stupid.
Let's speak later.
Another time.
I wanted a party.
You give me a party, I have the fireworks!
I already have the fireworks, and I can sick them on you.
Unfortunately.
There's no party.
There's no party.
So what was that? What was the point of that?
I thought we were going to have, like, a lovely little cutscene where, like, it would be like, a party? A soiree? Ah, let's do
like,
it.
Oh, I need to arrange the, like...
I need to arrange everything. I have to get the tables, the food, the balloons, the Uncle Magic. It's going to be fun.
The Uncle Magic?
Yeah, you don't know Uncle Magic?
No. Is that a magician that goes to parties? Yeah.
Yes. He's a hip-hop magician. I think he's only in the tri-state area. And
Uncle
and the tri-state Uncle area Magic? Meaning like New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. And there used to be commercials with just like, it's like, kids, you want a good party? Get Uncle Magic. And he just does magic. He brings cotton candy, games for kids, and all this stuff. And he's like, who's your favorite uncle? And the little kid goes, Uncle Magic. And like, you could hire him for parties.
I've never heard of such a thing.
I've never seen him in true life.
It makes it sound like he's like a folktale. Like he's like an urban legend.
An urban legend. Uncle Magic. It sounds like a crappy children's television show.
I can't believe that's something that exists.
I want to know if he's still around. I have not seen his commercials.
Oh my God, do you think Uncle Magic is a rebel mage that we just recruited?
Oh my God. Uncle Magic has an Instagram.
Oh my God, he's still out there?
Uncle Magic is still... Oh, this doesn't look fun at all. There's a picture of him, just like a selfie of him in a car, and he just not look happy.
Oh. This is why we can't have a party. She's like, I can't find Uncle Magic. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry,
Zandrian.
No Uncle Magic for you. It's like, damn it.
But we do at least talk to Dorian. That's a party.
And we get... This is our first like interaction with him after his big magic... time traveling mission.
Yeah,
right?
This is the first kind of like idle, just like hanging around. He's kind of hanging near the tavern. Oh, here's Dorian.
Dorian!
The Inquisition supports free mages. What's next? Elves running Halamshiral? Cows milking farmers?
Yes!
Do you disagree?
You disagree? Yeah.
I take it you don't agree. On the contrary, I approve. heartily.
Oh, thank God.
The Imperium was once just like the Sun. Templars, proper circles, all that rot. Then it changed. My homeland should be a cautionary tale, not a source of inspiration.
I agree. This is another interesting perspective. I feel like every mage in our party, like, brings an interesting perspective, but I think every character kind of, like, they try to make them bring a unique perspective, because Vivienne is, like, the character who, she's, like, the mage, but she tries to be very pragmatic about it, and it's, like, controversial. You have Sarah, who's the person who just, like, doesn't want to think about it, the complexity.
Yeah.
You have Iron Bull, who's, like, he's, like, from the Kune, and then you have Dorian, who's from Tevinter, which we've never really had, like, directly in, like, our party.
Yeah. We've never had a Tevinter person. We've always fought Tevinter slavers.
Yeah.
So to have someone from Tevinter in our party is a first.
There's not 3 games worth of nice Tevinter people.
It's
just the one.
Like, you would expect. So he's challenging. He's subverting our expectations of someone from Tevinter.
Yeah. And I guess, like, this is another thing that makes sense, because he's like, you know, look at Tevinter. It should be like a cautionary tale, even though he supports the freedom of mages. He doesn't want it to go down that path. And so other people from Tevinter would be thrilled. You know, they'd be like, yeah, like,
freedom, let's go.
Like, it's awesome.
I mean, I feel like there's a good middle ground. There has to be a good middle ground where we can allow more freedom for the mages while also
without them like overthrowing
without society. Them overthrowing society exactly
and making their own oppressive society.
I feel like the same, this is what happens with every sort of medium that has superpowered beings. I feel like we try to put our own real world into a world that we cannot understand.
Well, this is what I've always said about superheroes, Manny. You know this.
I know this. Brandon and I have always argued the fact that superheroes should be held accountable.
I've always said that there should be some sort of regulatory measures on superheroes to make sure that they don't use their powers against the good of the people, because there's nothing holding them to that standard.
And then I say, if you live in that world, then you're just letting Thanos win.
What?
You're just letting Thanos win. If you think that these superheroes can't just go out and save the world on their own accord.
I'm not saying they need permission. I'm just saying they shouldn't be able to do anything without consequence.
That almost happened in Avengers Infinity War, where Captain America was like, we gotta go stop this madman Thanos. And the government was like, you are under arrest, you silly little bastard.
See, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, like, yeah, stopping Thanos, that is objectively beneficial to all. But doing something like with the same powers that it takes to stop Thanos, you could enslave an entire town into a sitcom.
Listen, that she did not know what she was doing.
And that doesn't mean it should be without consequence.
But she was enjoying herself.
And that's why there needs to be some kind of, like, the world would be chaos. All right, point is, bring it back to Dragon Age. I think it makes sense for Dorian to be wary of this path that he's seen his own homeland go down.
Yes.
But Dragon Age is trying to have those conversations and those thoughts, and rather than just say that mages should be free because people deserve to be free,
there's more nuance,
right? They're willing to dive in and think about the consequences and make conflict out of it, and have all these characters with all these varying not only varying opinions, but opinions that make sense with their backstory and experience. I think that's a very cool way to talk about an issue like that.
It is a nice issue, a cool way to talk about it, yeah.
It's worth talking to them. It's not just everyone thinks the same, and what's the reason to talk to Dorian if he has the same opinion about mages as Solas, you know?
Yeah. So it gives you a variety of different views.
Yeah.
Much like The View. I would love to see...
The View starring Xandrian, Dorian, Vivienne, Sarah... That sounds horrible. Now that we've talked to our friends, it's time to do some exploration. And the new area we're going to go to is called the Fallow Mire. This is somewhere I think we already unlocked it using our power, because we hadn't really understood at that point how much work it took to get power.
Yeah.
So something we already had unlocked, and we need to level up for our next like big story mission. All right, let's save and let's do some adventuring.
Yeah, let's do a mission.
It's time for us to find a new area, Dorian.
Yeah, yes. We're gonna also bring
Iron Bull.
Iron Bull. And then Varric.
Not Sarah. All these people that we don't like so far, I want to endear myself to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want to hate these people.
So far, I really like one, and that's Dorian.
Uh-huh. Of the, like, new characters.
Of the new characters. Dorian's amazing. He's funny. I got to know a little bit about his backstory.
Well, we've kind of talked about this before, but we decide to bring along Dorian, Iron Bull, and Sarah. Again, just, like, we try to bring these people to give us a reason to like them more. You know, give them more exposure.
I mean, like, look how we picked Dorian. We picked Dorian automatically because, one, he's new. Mm-hmm. And two, we know a lot about him already. We know his personality. So it seems like this would be a fun person to bring around.
Yeah.
And just to get him
this
know
is the
him
first,
more.
Like, idle, non-story thing for him.
Yeah. And so, like, everybody else, some we could have a little bit more, we have a little bit more information on them. But some we just don't know how they are because of how they're introduced.
Like, we only know their general character defining things, like Sarah's personality and Iron Bull's kind of personality as a mercenary and stuff, but other than that, it's like we don't know
their backstory.
Yeah.
I at least know Dorian's gay lover Felix is dying and he feels sad
so
about
sad.
It
I mean Dorian's the one we know the most about. We talk about it all the time, but it's like I want to know more about these people. I wish we got to do a mission to introduce them instead of just like, come on.
Exactly, like we know, well, like the things with Varric and Cassandra, we already have experience. Well, even with Cassandra, we know of Cassandra from Dragon Age 2, but what do we really know about her?
Yeah, we know about her from an anime.
From an anime.
From a 3D cel-shaded past.
Yeah, but like, what do we really know about her life? If, let's say, we just took the anime out.
But she's also,
if we're just playing the games.
The thing I like about Cassandra in this game, though, is like what we do know about her going in is just she's just like a harsh interrogator, you know, that's it.
Yes.
And then you get more the vulnerable side and you see like she's like doubting her path and she's ingrained in the Chantry, so she at least relates a lot to the main story. Like, you don't even get that with Iron Bull, Sarah, to an extent, like Black Wall, and obviously there will be more time spent, but it would be nice to have that going in so that...
Yeah, it'd be nice we had that storyline. Like, we do learn a little bit more about them as the game goes on. But it'd be nice if we had a good chunk of that information when we meet them.
Yeah. Like, besides Dorian, I feel like Vivienne is the next, like, biggest character, because she's just... Even though she doesn't have a mission like Dorian does, she has a very striking... Yes. personality, you know,
and very staunch views.
Yeah, and her character defining like introduction is also very hammy.
Yeah.
So but yes, this is the party we bring along to the Fallow Mire, and when we arrive there, we're about to arrive, and like every place you arrive in, you get a debrief.
Mm-hmm.
And we get there, it's very rainy, extremely dark, and it's this like foresty marsh area with lightning.
Yeah, it's very like green, like a green tint to the coloring.
Yeah,
the color scheme here.
Our missing patrols are being held hostage by Avar, barbarians from the mountains.
What are they doing in a bog?
That's
the thing. Their leader, he wants them to fight you because you're the herald of Andraste.
Why?
What do they have against Andraste?
Well, the Avar think there are gods in nature, as in the sky has a god and the forest. The Avar say you're claiming to be sent by one, and they'll challenge the will of your god with their own. I think their leader's just a boastful little prick who wants to brag he killed you.
Oh, shit. It's a boastful little holy shit.
That's fame for you.
Yep.
You'll have to fight your way through undead. Wait,
You're not squeamish about undead, are you?
I'm not the Hardly. Big, I'm not the biggest fan.
You'll want to stay out of the water, then.
I'm gonna go in the water?
The
okay.
Hold up in the castle on the other side.
Put
of
my little toe in. Make
You dip your toe into my water.
So not only is this green and dark and stormy and marshy, but it also has undead.
Yes, so it's like, why would anyone live here?
Like, this people is do like, live here.
And it's like, what? But why? If like, you can't even go by the lake without a fucking skeleton trying to kill you.
Yeah.
What happens
it's
at
like
night?
It's like when you step in the water, then they come out and attack you.
Yeah, it's like, what an interesting fucking rule that like, why is the water their home? Are they just like, someone's in the house again? Get them.
It can't have to do with the water itself because it's raining.
Yeah. So like,
the water's hitting me all the time.
So like, is this just a cursed land? I'm guessing
it's got to be a magic curse. What if a rock falls in the water? Does it have to be a living human? Or not human, yeah, like, living, like,
what if
person?
A tree falls down? What would the...
If a tree
undead...
falls down in the lake, and there's no one around to step in it, do the skeletons kill the tree?
will the skeletons kill the tree? Because, like, do they chase anybody, or, like, do they just come out if anything touches, or do they come out and attack the person who touched it?
I don't know. They do attack us.
They do.
But
so I'm wondering if it was a rock or a tree, they would only like hit that rock. Like, could something
well, the
that
tree
I could
is alive.
A tree is alive. Like, so something that I could do, can I take like a stick, like while one's chasing me and throw it?
Oh, and then like, throw it into the water and they're like, get it. And then that distracts
it's like a dog playing fetch. And be like, go get it, it's attacking your water.
And then you steal their jewels or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, as we explore this place, it's very stormy, and there'll be times where like lightning strikes just random points mm-hmm. on the ground near you. So yeah. It's a very perilous place. We learn from Scout Harding that the natives here are called the Avar, and mm-hmm. they want to fight Xandrian because they do not like Andraste, and he is the Mm-mm. herald of Andraste.
This is a scary place.
This is scary.
Is this the same area as the Haunted Mansion?
The same area as the Haunted Mansion?
Yeah.
Just like the Disney ride?
No, remember that haunted place where we were the ghosts and we were haunting the Fade area?
When we were the...
In Awakening!
Oh, the Black Marsh?
Yeah, this is not the Black Marsh.
I mean, these are marshy.
It's not the Black Marsh.
I don't know if this is the Black Marsh, though. We have to see. Does it look like Florida?
In a way, this could be Florida.
Oh, there's the undead.
That's just a Floridian.
I can claim something. This is the Inquisitions!
This is the Inquisitions, boardwalk!
Ah! This is Florida. We have a boardwalk.
Eat it! Ate it!
Oh, God. Why did we bring you here?
They said if you step in the water, undead come. Should I try?
No, you go right ahead and see what happens.
God, this is so, like...
This is really scary.
Spooky. Beacons.
Energize!
So we find a beacon, which is basically just like a lamp on a stone.
Yes. And it's just to light our way. Like, basically, there's four of these, right?
Yeah, along the path.
And it's just like, is this just like a checkpoint or just like a thing we have to light?
Yeah, it's like I don't think we technically have to, but it's like a checkpoint. And rather than camps, these are what serve as fast travel points.
Yeah.
And you light the beacon with Veil Fire, which is like the green fire we talked about in a previous episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then you beat the demons that pop up. And then you cleared that path, and then you have to do it all the way down throughout the Fallow Mire, which is just like, it just adds an even more perilous aspect to this place, because not only are there undead, but there's also demons that you have to like clear out. Was this whole place just like...
It's just like, is it always, I'm wondering if it's always eternal darkness in this place.
I feel like it has to be. It's like, it's infested with demons, undead. How do people live here?
They don't, Brandon. They don't. They just use it. They just use it. There's like a summer home. There's like a Halloween hot spot. It's just for people who want to come here.
I hope no one comes here. Why were our people even here? Like, don't go to that fucking place.
Like, how do you camp here? How do you even sleep? I'd be scared.
How do you eat? How do you drink?
It's ridiculous. It's this place. This place is just a spooky land. They just want to add spooky land to it, and so
it's very spooky,
very spooky, very scary.
Uh-oh. Oh shit!
Uh oh,
we disturbed the. This is spooky.
Look out!
There's only two camps in this place. I guess it's not very large.
It's just very scary. I this is too scary for my taste. Even though I like watching scary movies.
Yeah, says the person of the two of us who likes horror.
I like horror, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't fuck me up, Brandon. I lost sleep over a movie once.
Which one?
The Poughkeepsie Tapes.
I don't know anything about it. Oh, there's a spooky right here.
Ooh, another spooky. It's a movie.
Oh, get away from me.
About, it's a found footage movie. / uh-huh. Fake documentary.
Okay.
About a serial killer recording his own murders.
Oh.
Yeah. It fucked me up.
Who's the person that you thought, like, was still out there and you were afraid of them getting you?
Oh, that was BTK. That was a real person.
Right.
The BTK killer. I watched a lot of serial killer stuff on E. Yeah, the BTK killer was on the loose still. And I watched everything. I'm like, oh my god, he's gonna fucking come and kill me. He's gonna find. I was like, what, 10 or 11 years old?
Oh my god.
I was freaking out. And then I remember vividly. This is a vivid memory. We were in a JCPenney or Macy's. And there's like outside the dressing room.
Yeah.
There's like a little area to wait. And then there was a TV that had CNN on and said, the BTK killer has been captured. And I was like, oh my god, Mom, I'm safe! Is that a bear?
Yeah, oh my god.
Oh shit! Did that hit us?
Sarah, did you do that? Was that a lightning bolt? Harry Potter paintings are just, like, eternal.
Oh.
And I was kind of having a mini existential crisis over that. And then I was thinking about how, like, what if they're being drawn in, like, a battle or in, like, some sort of, like tortured state.
And they're constantly in a battle.
And it's just, like, for all eternity. It's like, what if all the Pawnee paintings were paintings from Harry Potter and it's just, like, massacred for eternity?
Oh, my God, Brandon! Jesus Christ!
I'm just saying, it doesn't sound nice.
This is why Harry Potter scares the shit out of me.
I've always loved this story about the BTK killer.
Listen, okay, if no one knows, quick thing about the BTK killer, okay. He was, like, Midwest, I think, pretty much.
So not even around where we live.
So not even around New York.
In the middle of fighting, like, a Fade Rift, we see one of these Avar people. And they call him the Sky Watcher. And this is basically how all Avar look, but he's super tall.
Mm-hmm.
And he's wearing what looks like the little bear costume that we put on Varric. Or actually,
it does look like the little bear costume.
Didn't we also put a costume on Solus that looks like this? It's like white and black.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so they're dressed like that, and we get a DLC costume that looks similar, and he has a huge-ass hammer, so this is our first look at an Avar person.
You can rent the gaps in the air.
The Skywatcher.
My kin want you dead, Lowlander, but it's not my job. No fears from me.
You sound like a guy from Game of Thrones.
Goodbye. Okay.
Bye, there's a skeleton behind
you.
Watch
the water.
Watch the water. Can you help me fight him?
So, like, if you drink the water from here, do you have, like, skeletons show up until you piss it out?
Isn't this also a thing from Harry Potter?
What?
Wasn't it, like, it was, like, where one of the Horcruxes was?
Oh, yes, and there was undead in the water.
Yeah, and, like, you couldn't touch the water.
Yeah.
As we were. Here's the last beacon.
Energize!
I feel like the camera angle is a lot different in this game compared to the other ones, too. Like, when you're fighting.
Mm-hmm.
whereas it kind of like goes over the shoulder a bit. We got a lot of power just now.
We got a lot of power. Red Velvet. 13
power.
Oh god, she looks so blood. I didn't notice that they get bloodied up in their picture.
Oh. And she's still smiling. And she has like a black eye.
Oh, Sarah, you know what? That gives me a giggle.
I want someone to answer this question for me.
Yes?
That if you do drink this water,
oh,
do you have to wait until you piss it out?
I don't think the game thought about that. I don't think Harry Potter thought about it either when they put it in Harry Potter.
I've rewatched a couple of the movies recently, and it just makes me feel so... It gets me angry.
Why?
They get me angry because I'm just like, I'm thinking as an adult now, like, this place is horrible.
Oh, well yeah, we talk about that all the time.
Yeah, so it just makes me angry now.
That the whole, like, the whole society hinges on a school. Like... the fabric of your whole like society of these supremacists coming to kill everyone, and the last line of defense is a fucking school, and the you don't have like an army, you don't have like the best you have is like a like detectives.
I don't hate Harry Potter. Let me just put it out there. I don't hate Harry Potter. Like I still do enjoy Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I just don't like it as much as I used to.
Yeah, and you see the cracks. As time goes. Oh, yeah. Well, another thing we also notice is that, so on the side of the screen on the top left, you see all the health bars of your characters and their mana. And we notice that the character portraits that appear as the characters' faces, when they're like really severely hurt, it turns into a bloody, like punched up version.
It's, you know, it reminds me of Kingdom Hearts. Where Sora's face goes like it looks like he's pants or like he looks tired.
Yeah, when he has low health.
Now I think they should go this extra mile. I want to see Donald Duck with a black eye,
like in bits where they're like bleeding and like they're bleeding.
Like Goofy has blood coming out of his nose and he's still smiling.
Yeah, because that's what Sarah's is still like smiling. Like she looks beaten up, but she looks like she's so proud of herself. Like she's still having a good time.
Yeah, she's like, this is my happy place, being in fights.
Yeah, she's called chaos.
Yes.
But anyway, we make it all the way down as part of this Fallowmire area, and we make it to the place where our Inquisition people are being captured, and it's a giant castle with this enormous moon behind it.
It's basic. It is so reminiscent, like. If I made this black and white, this would just be a Universal monster movie from the 30s. This yeah. is just Dracula. Like, I'm just imagining, like, a lightning bolt going...
And there are. And it is lightning. Like,
it's so creep. It's like, it has... Though, I love this kind of imagery, though.
Yeah, it's very spooky. Even this isn't the kind of imagery I would expect to see in a Dragon Age game. Because it's, like, foggy, it's dark, there's a castle, and you see the moonlight with a enormous moon, and there's all these undead. So basically what's happening is the undead are like overrunning on the outside, and we have to run past them into the gates of this castle. And it's much different than what I would have expected from Dragon Age.
And you know what's funny, I was just about to say, like, oh, I would love to play a game with this kind of aesthetic, and then I was like, oh, there's already Castlevania that I could just play.
Oh, like a full game to get this aesthetic.
Like a full game.
Yeah, I'm sure there's even more, too. I mean, you have Castlevania. What else do you got?
I think Demon Souls has this kind of...
Demon Souls. I've only played Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not exactly an expert, but...
I've never played any of the Castlevania games. I've only watched the first season of the show. And I know Simon Belmont in Super Smash Brothers. And in a very, very bad 1980s video game cartoon called Captain N, the Game Master.
Oh, yes. But yeah, point is, undead are swarming this place, and we have to get in. Wait, is this like a... What is this?
It's a castle. It's Castlevania.
And it's surround... It has all these undead.
We should head to the castle.
Head to the castle. Oh.
Okay.
This feels... Oh my god, I don't know why this looks like Frankenstein. Welcome to Castle Frankenstein. I don't know why he has a Dracula.
It's just all of those
the monsters,
all that genre mixed together.
Welcome to Castlevania.
And you just see a werewolf. I'm here too. I don't know why the werewolf is like goofy. I'm here too. That was very good.
Thank you.
Get away from me. I'm gonna mind blast you.
Holy shit. Imagine
those are the last words you hear. I'm gonna mind blast you.
Boom.
Explode. We fight our way through the undead, and then we make it to this, like, really destroyed, like, throne room where the castle's all broken up. You see the moonlight through the castle, and this is where the Avar leader is. And I have to wonder, like, they can't live here. Like, this place is destroyed, and there's undead, like in their fortress.
I'm wondering if they're, like, you know, they're just apocalyptic-style people. Where they live in, like, the worst area. Like, they live right outside, like, a zombie fortress.
Yeah.
But they have enough weapons to protect themselves. And, like, we're not leaving. This is our home.
I can't imagine that, though. Like, maybe they just use it. This is just where they store their prisoners from the Inquisition. Because these people worship the nature, like, the sun and the trees. You can't even see the sun here. It's it's just moon, and then also, why is the moon so clear if it's raining?
It's like a sun shower. There's moon showers,
but it's not a sun shower. It's fucking lightning striking at our feet.
Yes, that's a different cloud, Brandon. It's like that one cloud is hitting everywhere else, and the moon's in the distance.
I just feel like if I worshipped nature and there were undead crawling out of the ground, I might think that the world was ending.
And it was just darkness all year round.
Yeah, like, this seems like a really desolate, dark existence if they lived here. But we fight this leader. He has, like, archers, and he's a huge guy with a giant axe. Oh, is this their leader? This is their leader.
Oh, shit.
We found him. Solas, you heal Sarah. Iron Bull, you fight these people instead of the big guy. And I will survive. That's my job.
Oh, he's dead.
Okay. We did it. Now can I release the soldiers?
Herald of Andraste.
Yes, it's me.
Bow to me.
Yes. I thought it stopped raining for a second and the sun was coming up.
The sun opens up. Yay, we did it.
The dead are leaving forever!
So we kill the guy, we free the Inquisition soldiers, and the sun comes out!
No,
and the undead go back into the water.
No, the undead just get their skin back, they just become alive again.
Thank you, it's like Sailor Moon. I don't know why when you say they get their skin back, I'm imagining like...
What the hell are you expecting? Like a 5-minute transformation sequence? Like, dude, he's like, the sun's back! And they're just like moving around. And at the end, they strike a pose.
And then they get like a human face. But when they strike a pose, it's still like a skeleton face. And then the last thing to come back is like a beautiful, gorgeous, like... like sorcerer, I don't know.
I for one love the Sailor Moon transformation.
No, it's great.
I've only watched 2 episodes of Sailor Moon.
Okay.
And the reason why is because I only had 2 episodes of Sailor Moon on tape.
Oh, you owned them.
I owned a videotape. So to be distinct, I owned the Deke dub, which Brandon, there are multiple dubs of Sailor Moon.
Okay, is this a good one or a bad one?
This is considered a bad one, but I love it anyway.
Okay.
It's Deke, which is like this animation, like this, you know, and children's entertainment company.
Yeah.
Back in the 80s and 90s. And they really, really fucked up the dub and added like 90s like transitions.
Yeah.
And it's just awful. It's just awful. But I love it because it's so 90s cheese. It just fills me because I used to watch it all the time.
Yeah.
And they kind of make Sailor Moon an idiot.
Oh, she doesn't deserve that.
I mean, I haven't seen the.
I'm not. Very I know. Familiar I with Sailor Moon.
She's just a teenage girl who happens to be like
super powered. But
That does not happen here. The sun does not come out. No one transforms. But we do, like, after we free our Inquisition soldiers, we go back to the entrance of this castle to get ready to get out of here. And we see the Sky Watcher that we met along the way. And we get the chance to recruit him as an agent, not as a companion.
Not as a companion, exactly.
Oh, there's one more guy here. But I think he's a friend.
I think that's the guy who was we spoke with earlier.
The guy who didn't attack us.
Yes.
Hello.
Your god looks after you, Harold.
Work for me instead.
The Inquisition has a purpose your chief lacks. Join me. Help us stop the breach.
Oh, he's an agent. He's not like a companion.
Yeah, he's an agent. He's just someone who like joins us and probably gives us some sort of perk. Wow, we really cleaned up here.
We cleaned it up. This disgusting fucking area. And we got someone.
I feel sun through the ashes in the sky.
Thus ends a very spooky episode.
Very spooky.
Of Enchantment Inquisition.
We should have had, like, Scooby-Doo show up when we come into this area.
That's the person who briefs us instead of Scout Harding.
It's like, gang,
it's just like
look.
The Scooby gang. or maybe that's who we free when we defeat the Avar leader.
It's like, oh, our it's like, gang, look, it's the Inquisition. And, like, Scooby-Doo just, like, hops on you and gives you a lick.
Oh, God.
And then, like, let's see who really was behind it. And they pull the guy that we just defeated, and it was, like, a mask. And it's like, old man Withers. And I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for this filthy Inquisition and you meddling kids. Like a dumb dog.
But, yeah, this was a fun little romp.
It was calm. We had a lovely time speaking to everybody, going to the spooky.
Some new aesthetics that we're not used to. And we got some nice debates about whether or not mages deserve freedom.
Yes.
But that's a little reductive. Not everyone thinks they deserve freedom.
But we did not get a party, which is the biggest letdown of this entire episode.
No, that's fucked up.
You know what? I don't blame Josephine because she probably wasn't told about the party.
But we were supposed to tell her the game.
She was very busy. I think I blame Varric for putting the idea in our minds.
I blame the developers for not allowing us to tell her. We went to her,
say, get the balloons, crack the champagne. It's time for a
Let's
party.
Let's have a kiki. I want to have a Let's kiki. And we didn't get to do it.
Well, a kiki is a party, Brandon, for calming all your nerves.
That's exactly what we need.
We can't calm our nerves right now. It's war, Brandon.
Yeah. So this is a good segue. Next episode, we're going to have the next big, like, story segment. Now that we were able to raise our level just a little bit there in the Fallow Mire. And I kind of wish next episode began with a party and then, like, all hell broke loose.
It's like you just see, like music and just, like, confetti and balloons. And then you just see in the ominous in the distance. Like, it's like, oh, no, they're here. Cut to black.
It's not what's going to happen. But I'm looking forward to it anyway. Next episode's going to be a big one. It's basically like the end. Like, this game is not separated into acts. It is narratively, but not rigidly as the previous game was.
Yeah.
But it's basically the end of the first act.
And you know what just came into my mind, Brandon?
What's that?
That I could have been able to give Josephine the cake at the party.
She deserves it.
It's like, she deserves it for being a good job. That could have been us in the middle of everything. Just in the middle of, like, the square. It's like, if we're doing a good job, I give Josephine a cake. And we just hold it and everyone just applauds.
And there's just an explosion in the background. And that's...
that's what happens. And then the cake falls on the ground.
And then they drop the cake in shock.
And Or she uses the cake to fight whatever we're about to fight in next episode.
Oh my god, I would love like a fight sequence where everyone's fighting, and then Josephine, because she's not a fighter, she just like, she's very resourceful and uses like a cake and then like burns someone with a clipboard, like with like the candle on her clipboard.
Oh my god, this is how I would have done it.
But yeah, we'll see next time about what we're alluding to.
Yes.
But until then, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at EnchantmentCast. You can email us at enchantmentpodcast@gmail.com. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, enchantmentcast.com/apple, or wherever you listen to the show. You can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/enchantmentcast. And where, for $1 a month, you can find found footage of us playing the Dragon Age games. And for $5 a month, you can listen to bonus episodes where we play other games.
Yes.
And you can go to our Discord, enchantmentcast.com/discord, where you can join us and others talking about Dragon Age and other things. And
that's it?
What that is. Okay. We'll see you next time. My name is Brandon.
And my name is Manny.
And this has been Enchantment Inquisition. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. Enjoy your time at the spooky castle, the haunted mansion.